Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. June 16, 2020. My thoughts on Twitter June 16, 2020. We're going to have to live with the coronavirus for years, going forward. And, accordingly, we're going to have to reform the economy, to identify which industries are necessary. However, only 20% of the workforce will be required for that, the rest will be studying integral unification. We get the ego, the will to receive, from the Creator. There is nothing else in us but this. All of creation is built out of this point in us. The rest comes from Him, from His influence, both light and darkness. We need only accept that this is so. And we're merely registering this truth. From Twitter, June 16, 2020. Medium published my new article A Civilization in the Remaking. We thought we could beat COVID-19 by staying at home for a couple of months and practicing social distancing. We were very, very wrong. As soon as we rolled back the lockdown, the virus returned with a strain nearly 10 times more infectious, according to scientists at the Scripps Research in Florida. It will not let up until we understand its message. It's time to remake human civilization. To make sure that people get the information required to live in a civilization of connection, authorities will have to stipulate reception of all benefits on participation in learning how to live in this new society. Here is a partial list of where the number of confirmed cases is on the rise once more: United States, Russia, France, Israel, Argentina, Brazil, which never really went into lockdown, Italy, Germany, and South Korea, previously the gold standard of success. Wherever you look, the tactic of stay home until it goes away is failing miserably, and the new strain guarantees that it will continue to fail. This leaves us only one option: restructure our countries so that everyone gets their basic sustenance while learning what in the world is going on. Any country that does not employ this tactic is bound to undergo complete social, political, and economic meltdown. We will not be able to reopen businesses and shopping centers since they will become contagion hubs. According to Bloomberg, one-third of US job losses are at risk of turning permanent. I think Bloomberg is far too optimistic. Since the virus will not allow the reopening of businesses, they will simply shut down, along with all the businesses dependent on them. In the near future, nearly half of America will remain without income, and without any possibility of finding one. Over time, the percentage of incomeless Americans will only grow, as companies from manufacturers to retailers adapt to a post-virus world, cutting off even more people from secure work, according to the Bloomberg Economics Research. And considering that the virus isn't even gone, the impact on the job market will be even more devastating than predicted. Therefore, every government and municipal authority must take immediate steps to prevent the system's collapse that will follow such a massive layoff nightmare. In such a state of uncertainty, people's most basic fear will be hunger and shelter. The government, for its part, must implement immediate measures to provide water, food, power, and housing to everyone. If people are left hungry or on the street, there will be mayhem that will dwarf what we have seen with the recent George Floyd protests. Next, the government and local authorities will need to inform everyone that the situation has changed and their lives will not return to what they were before March 2020. People will have to be briefed on what it means to live in a world where very few people work, and those who do, provide for everyone else's sustenance. The rest of the people will be doing what we should have started doing long ago, communicating with one another. Once people's provision is guaranteed by the new structure that the authorities will establish, the rest of the people will spend their abundance of free time simply socializing. After all, this is what being human is about. There will be no reason to compete over jobs, no cause for business rivalries, and all that people will need to do is talk to one another and discover how great it is to simply be together, all races, all colors, all people. Instead of fighting, people will find their new meaning in life in connecting to other people rather than in racing against everyone to get to the top, exhausted, scarred, and alone. To make sure that people get the information required to live in a civilization of connection, authorities will have to stipulate reception of all benefits on participation in learning how to live in this new society. In this way, people will get their physical, intellectual, and emotional needs satisfied through the system. Faster than we think, a new society will emerge, where bigotry and hatred have no place, and people's primary occupation is making friends. And if these words sound like fantasy, consider what you thought about life in February, and what you think about it now. Mutual guarantee, now and forever. The life we see outside the window is a reflection of our inner connection with one another. Violent demonstrations in American cities protesting against racism and a new wave of coronavirus around the world is all due to our inaction and our unwillingness to correct our attitudes toward each other. The coronavirus burst into our lives and declares, "You are all in an integral connection. You are standing together in front of Mount Sinai. If you do not unite with each other and do not ask the higher power to correct you, then this will be the place of your burial." The coronavirus is designed to show us how much we depend on one another. This dependence is called mutual guarantee, which means that I should not think about how to protect myself from the coronavirus, but how to protect others from illness due to my kind and correct attitude toward them. And what is happening now? Now, as a genuine egoist, I say that I'm tired of sitting at home in quarantine. I want to go outside and have fun, go to a restaurant, cafe, park, and the seashore. I want this. And I do not think about others. There is absolutely no mutual guarantee between us. Others are not considered by me at all. I do what is best for me. If I was sure that everyone else were healthy and that I was the only sick one, I would carelessly walk around everyone with my infection. I would know that no one would infect me and I would let others become infected. What do I care about them? And this is exactly what is happening in human society in America, in Israel, in Europe, and everywhere. Everyone thinks only of himself. There is no sense of responsibility for one another. We will begin to take the right path only when we sit at home without sticking our noses out because we are afraid of infecting others and are not thinking about ourselves. The coronavirus will lead us to such change and will not disappear until the change happens. The virus will make us think about how not to harm our neighbor. I will be afraid to harm others and therefore will prefer to stay at home. The coronavirus should give us the feeling that we are living in an integral world where you can be healthy only under the condition of mutual guarantee. This is not everything, but it is the very first and necessary thing to start the correction. And then I will no longer need any restrictions like closed borders between countries, a mandatory distance of 2 meters, or a mask. No one will have to be obligated to do anything. After all, everyone will take care of others and try to do everything so that others would remain healthy. We need to look deeper into the essence of this virus because it reveals to us, not the biological disease in us, but our spiritual condition, the relationships between us and the lack of guarantee for one another. And in order to maintain such a guarantee and mutual care, we need the upper light. Therefore, the coronavirus has come to us from above and has awakened us so that we will turn our attention upward and ask for the upper light that will correct us and give us a sense of responsibility for one another, which we do not have. Then I will worry about others so as not to harm them, but rather to be useful to them. Mutual guarantee is the most difficult of all efforts because it is our main correction. I have to think about others, get involved in their lives, take care of them, feel their desires, and understand how to help them get closer to adhering to the Creator, how to merge with the upper force. These are very high concepts related to the correction of the broken soul of Adam HaRishon. But we are approaching them day by day in understanding and in feeling. The health of people depends on their unity and mutual guarantee. Everyone is the guarant of their neighbor's health and ensures that everyone is healthy. In this way, we will get rid of the coronavirus because, by doing this, we will act toward unification, mutual guarantee, and the construction of a common integral vessel. We will take such a step when everyone will worry, not about getting infected with the virus themselves, but about not transmitting the virus to others. That is, the direction of thought should be the other way around and the reasoning should be opposite as well. Mutual guarantee means that I cannot think about myself because everyone else thinks about me. And I would have to think about them, about the 10. And so we will all be in mutual guarantee, gradually expanding it to the whole world, and the Creator will be between us and correct us. The guarantee is accepted together, now and forever. A guarantee, by its nature, cannot exist if there are restrictions because it is based on love. And love is not compatible with limitations. Our well-being depends on mutual guarantee because this is the basic law of the corrected system. In order to be healthy, a person needs to be in a body whose parts are correctly connected to one another. And the correct connection between all parts of human society is mutual guarantee in which everyone thinks about everyone and does good to everyone. And so we need to collect all of our broken parts and connect them into one healthy body. And when a kind connection and guarantee between all the organs arises in this perfect body, we will feel life in this body, not today's sick existence where the whole body is cut and fragmented, but real life where the upper light circulates throughout our body and fills every part of us. This means we must attain correction as well as eternal and perfect life. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, May 30, 2020. What nature wants from man? Question: is unification the balance between giving and receiving in society? Is the unification process a balance between how much I get from society and how much I give to society? Answer: yes. This is a process of unification. But the fact is that it is not clear to anyone. There are many economic, political, social, and all other theories, but still no one knows what to do with them. There are as many opinions as there are people. Because all this relates to man, and man for us is terra incognita, unknown territory. Question: how do I know how much I can receive and how much I can give? Answer: you can't know that because your egoism knocks you out of the system. While animals have an understanding of hierarchy, the need to unite, and a clear idea of what the right pack is, the human pack does not have such a law. It turns out that, unfortunately, we are worse than animals. We don't have any restraining principles. Question: so what does nature want from a human level? If everything works automatically and instinctively at all levels, what is required of the human level? Answer: nature requires a person to realize that he is above its inanimate, vegetative, and animate levels, that he does not belong to animate nature, and that he cannot automatically create such a structure in his society as animals. Therefore, he must study who he is and how he can come to a beautiful, correct, dynamic balance, following his continuous development. Nature demands all this from man. He must understand the general law of nature and then apply it to human society. He must create such an association between people that would reflect, on the one hand, the fact that they are not animals, but egotistically developing people who want to subjugate everything and everyone all the time. On the other hand, he still has to bring himself to the right balance and create such a system of interaction between people and the other levels of nature, so that this system would work in absolute harmony, in integration with itself. This condition is not understood by the person. He can't even create his own little society. I'm not even talking about how he treats inanimate, vegetative, and animate nature and only destroys everything. This is his only problem, in principle, This is his egoism. We need to find out how we can ride this egoism, begin to manage it, limit it intelligently, and understand how, after all, we should behave toward ourselves and among ourselves. From CabTV's The Age of Post-Coronavirus, April 16, 2020. Losing your own alien gainer. Question: does the disappearance of the fulfillment of desires leave us doubly devastated? Answer: of course. After all, the desire and fulfillment, which you wanted to achieve, should have felt pleasure, but instead, leave bitterness. Therefore, we experience double devastation from both desire and from fulfillment. Question: there is a story about a boy who lost a coin, stands, and cries. A passerby asks him, "Why are you crying?" Hearing the answer of the boy, he gives him a coin, and he cries even more. The passerby says, "I gave you a coin. Why are you crying again?" The boy replies, "I would have to if I had mine." Does it turn out that the gain is felt in our desires much less than the loss? Answer: yes. This is called I bud meek iron, loss from the capital sum. If I had a dollar and I lost it, it is not the same as if I earned this dollar or won $2. The loss of one's own is felt more acutely than the acquisition of another's. From CabTV's The Age of Post-Coronavirus, April 23, 2020. Desires given to us by nature. Question: as far as I understand, our desires are neutral and it is the intention that makes them egoistic. Answer: yes. Intention determines the vector and magnitude of desire. Let's say I want to eat some fruit. How much I want it, what I have to do for it, to what extent exactly I have to go for it, this is already determined by the intention. Question: which desires are egoistic and which are normal when I just fill myself up and do not intend to harm anyone? Answer: from the point of view of nature, any of our desires that we feel as a movement toward each other, to unite and to interconnect, are all true, correct, kind, good. And if we feel distant from each other, opposite, ready to contradict each other, then, of course, these desires ruin the world, destroy us, and in the end we find ourselves at the broken trough. Question: are our natural basic desires for food, sex, and family considered egoistic? Answer: this is not egoism because man's nature makes it necessary for him to fulfill these desires, and he realizes them to the extent that nature forces him. Question: what if I egoistically use my closest ones in the family? Answer: this is already beyond what nature intended, this is already egoism. And those of our desires that are aimed at maintaining the normal life of a person are not called egoistic. They are just fundamental, natural. Question: so if I fulfill a desire at the expense of others, this is called egoism? Answer: of course, because you humiliate others and rise above them. Question: what's wrong if I play sports, listen to music, go to concerts, travel, go on vacation abroad every month? Whom do I harm? Answer: it is quite possible that there is no harm regarding human society. But in addition to society, there is also nature around us. Do you harm it? Don't you act opposite to its integrality? Question: so I always have to control myself, whether I'm hurting someone or something? Answer: yes, as you are part of the entirety of nature. Comment: but this is an ideal condition. My response: no, it is a necessary condition. This must be taught and explained. A person must be aware of this and adapt himself to this state. From CabTV's The Post-Coronavirus Era, April 23, 2020. The pandemonium of Babel under the American flag. Everything we see in front of us comes from above. The explosive situation in America suggests that the Creator wants to show us the problem in society, in the common soul of Adam Harishon. How can it be fixed? In America today there is everything, the whole world, socialists, communists, capitalists, people who are dying of hunger and do not have a roof over their heads, and billionaires who have fabulous fortunes. This is a country with huge stratification in society. And now the coronavirus and the anti-racism riots, and more are added to it. If I were in Trump's position, I would not be in a hurry to run for president for a new term with all these problems. The problems that manifest themselves in American society today can only be solved by love that covers all crimes. We appeal for love not because we are naive idealists, but simply because it is a law of nature. We will have to think about how to get closer to nature because it will otherwise force us to do so with very harsh measures, world war and outbreaks of pandemics. Therefore, we should approach the terms that nature sets for us on our own. We are not socialists, capitalists, or fighters for someone's rights. We are just researchers of nature, and therefore, we want to talk about what it wants from us. Whether we like it or not, we will have to meet its requirements, nature will still win. So it's better to do it by ourselves. America needs to unite, otherwise, the country will fall apart. The whole country is divided into camps, one against the other, so unity is the salvation of the country. Winning an election and gaining power over an opponent for 4 years is not a solution. We must look for ways to replenish each other. Who needs all these picturesque poses with kneeling? It still won't help. Hatred remains hatred, separation remains separation. Hatred can only be cured by love, which covers all transgressions. And there is no love, it is something new. But we have the opportunity to attract this force. Let's try it. We will have to learn to love, there is no choice. If there are Europeans, African Americans, Latin Americans, many different nationalities living in the same country, this is a real Babylon. How else can we come to a mutual agreement? Remember ancient Babylon, today in America there is the same Babylonian pandemonium. In order to fix it, we need the same Abraham again who will be accepted by whites, blacks, and Latin Americans, recognized by all. The original method of Abraham is that love covers all transgressions, love for your neighbor as yourself. And there is an upper force that will teach us to love like that. Let's use it, otherwise we are lost. For now, we are only talking about compensation for the former enslavement of some by others. But there is only one compensation, all crimes are covered by love. And then white will remain white, black will remain black, yellow will remain yellow, and red will remain red, but love will rule above everything. Only this one power is able to conciliate everyone. And to do this, modern Babylon needs the technique of Abraham, the wisdom of Kabbalah. We must summon together all those who seek unity and work with them, just as Abraham did 3,500 years ago. All the old systems are collapsing, and in this empty space it is necessary to build a correct unity between all with the power of love. To do this, we need to learn how to connect with each other. And without this, everything will fall apart, leaving nothing of our civilization until after the Third World War we come to the decision that there is no way out and we need to correct ourselves. If we don't draw the right conclusions even then, there will be a Fourth World War. According to the program of nature, there can be 4 world wars. Therefore, we have no way out, we should have started the correction process a long time ago, and we are already very late. From the 3D part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson June 7, 2020, Writings of Balha Sulam, Peace in the World. Future Society. One Humanity. Question: what should be the society of the future? Answer: the society of the future is a society in which people will begin to feel all forms of life at the same time. A person will not feel that he exists only in one part of the universe, the most insignificant and small part, called our world. In addition to it, there are many more steps, and we can understand, realize, and feel all of them while still living in this world. Our world is the egoistic part of the universe, and the rest of it is altruistic. We can combine all of them within ourselves. But in order to begin to feel the other levels, we need to get out of our egoism. Then we will see what the universe actually is. Question: now there is such a thing as thinking in the 5D, 5 dimension. 3D is when you think selfishly, for yourself, and 5D is when you feel this world as a single mind, a single humanity. What should we strive to think of as a single organism? Answer: for this you must rise above your egoism and acquire the property of bestowal, love. You have to lose yourself, stop feeling like a center, and vice versa, feel others as a center, as a goal toward which you give everything. And you yourself exist only for this. Then you will feel the level of 5D and so on. From CAB TV's Meetings with Kabbalah, Victoria Bonia, March 29, 2020. Two Trends in the Life of the Jewish Diaspora, Part 4. Time of the Book of Zohar. Question: in Spain, several hundred years before the exile of the Jews from there, the Book of Zohar was revealed, a book about the correction of all mankind, about the passing of the method of connection to the world. Does the revelation of this book suggest that the sages had some opportunity to use this methodology? Answer: no, there were no great Kabbalists in those days who could use the Book of Zohar to make a spiritual revolution in the Jewish people. It was revealed in the 7th century and slowly began to spread, but there were a lot of problems with this. The vast majority of Jews and spiritual leaders of the Jewish people did not want it to be revealed because it caused a great deal of confusion in the minds and souls of Jews. In general, the Book of Zohar did more harm than good at that time. But gradually its time arrived. This happened in the 16th century in the time of the Ari. 400 years have passed since the revelation of the Book of Zohar. During this time, the Jews have caught up a little. They had already been scattered in different countries and had experienced many problems. They were facing the question of why they were suffering, and so their attitude to the Book of Zohar, to correction, to the achievement of some goal, became completely different. Moreover, great Kabbalists such as the Ari, Ramchal, and Moshe Cordovero appeared. This was the heyday of medieval Kabbalah in Seft, Israel. Society was ready for it. It saw how much suffering falls onto each generation, how they constantly are subjected to exile, and so large masses of people began to welcome Kabbalah. From the CAB TV's System Analysis of the Development of the People of Israel, July 29, 2019. Violin with 10 strings. The more I include myself in the 10, depicting that the Creator is there, the more I tune my soul like a musical string relative to other strings. The group should set themselves up like a violin so that everyone is like one person with one heart. And then the Creator will be revealed in us. The Creator dresses in the violin and plays it if it is correctly tuned relative to Him and all its strings are ready. We ourselves do not play this violin, the Creator plays the whole 10 together. The lights flow into our kelim and flow out and give rise to many harmonics, that is, glow at all levels, because the sephirot are divided into main, particular, and subordinate, smaller ones. We feel all this as a conversation between the Creator and us. In this form He is revealed in all our sensations arising as a result of the correct connection between friends. Everyone in the 10 must tune their string so that the Creator dresses in our violin. And it depends only on the relations between friends, how much they become more important to me, and I understand that without them I will not achieve anything. If the friends suddenly disappear, then I will lose all connection with the spiritual. a complete disconnection will happen. Therefore, it is necessary to constantly strengthen the connection in the ten and take care of all the friends as the dearest thing in life. There is nothing but this. For me, friends are even more important than the Creator, although He is the source and the purpose. But friends are more important because losing them, I will lose everything and already will not be able to find them. I cannot just go from one 10 to another 10, it is only possible at the initial stage. But in fact, this is such a connection that it is impossible to change. It is a huge tragedy when a person is kicked out of the 10 or leaves the 10 because of some kind of conflict, not having found understanding among his friends or having failed to understand them. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson May 18, 2020, Writings of Rabash, The Agenda of the Assembly, 2. Love and Caring in One Flask. Baal HaSulam, Shamati, Article 34, The Prophet of the Land. Hence, it is impossible to attain something in complete clarity if its parallel is absent. For example, it is impossible to estimate and say that something is good, if its opposite is missing, pointing to the bad. It is the same with bitterness and sweetness, love and hate, hunger and satiation, thirst and saturation, adhesion and separation. It turns out that it is impossible to come to love adhesion prior to acquiring the hate of separation. If we want to be wise and able to appreciate any state, we need to be in the opposite state, and then we can appreciate what we have. In such a case, we feel the fear of losing what we have, we appreciate what we have, and we do not let go. This is the true feeling of closeness. Question: do we need to constantly feel this trepidation? Answer: we must. Loving someone, maintaining a constant feeling of anxiety, fear of losing this love, this is a great skill. Otherwise, this love is childish, worthless. Question: why is it not enough to simply get over the separation to attain love, but we must hate the separation? Answer: what does it mean to get over something? You get over and you forget? No. Then you will not feel love but just a slight pleasant feeling. It is said about this that there is none so wise as the experienced, that having been through all the states and appreciating the joy of what he has, compared to the fear that he might also lose it, then he really guards what he has. Otherwise, everything will be lost. In principle, the many lifetimes that we are given are so that we will accumulate experience, will start to appreciate what we have, and will find true happiness. And it will consist of the opposite of the bad state. This is how we were created. We are created beings and are opposite from the Creator. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, December 15, 2019. Slaves of the 21st Century. Question: without the scientific and technical revolution, people in the 19th century worked for 16 to 18 hours daily, just in order to feed themselves. If there were no technical revolution, where would the opportunity to work for 2 to 3 hours and have everything you need come from now? Answer: I am not saying that I am against the development of technology and all the sciences. I am saying that what a person creates becomes what controls him. From an owner he becomes a slave. Look at what have become of our banks and financial institutions. They have enslaved a person. One doesn't have to work that much. You bring me the 19th century as an example, and I will bring you the 21st century as an example. What has happened to a person today? Does one work fewer hours? No. Feel freer? Number and what has happened to his performance? It is specially used to enslave man more and more, and to throw the products of his labor into the sea. Otherwise, if he wouldn't work, what would he do? He will have a lot of free time. It is dangerous. Free thinking will begin, all sorts of meetings that would be inappropriate or objectionable for the authorities would start, new trends will appear, and so on. We don't need this. Let people work 15 to 20 hours a day, or at least 10. But if a person works 10 hours, we will give them another 2 hours to get to work and 2 hours from work on top, and it will work out fine. He would come home, have dinner, watch half an hour of TV, and plop into bed. And this would happen all the time. We'll book him a holiday somewhere far away. So he will spin, and we will inundate him with advertising, you haven't seen this yet, you haven't bought that yet, etc. So he will work like this for the rest of his life. Man was a slave in the 19th century, and will be a slave in the 21st century. But there is a problem here, this is what our owners would like, but nature does not agree with this. And so there are all sorts of coronaviruses and other things. We have entered a state called the last generation when we must achieve an integral, correct, friendly dependence and mutual understanding among ourselves. If this does not happen, we will be punished not only with viruses, but with whatever else. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, April 12, 2020. New Life 1233. Humanity is a global family.
Shalom lachem, todas shatem.
Hello, and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. And today we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about the global state that we're advancing toward in the post-coronavirus era, and we'd like to see what can we learn. Look, lately, because of the coronavirus, because it was global, different cooperation started forming between countries, world leaders. We see summits in which world leaders want to share knowledge, experience, telling each other about what works in their country, what doesn't, trying to help with medical equipment, with searching for a remedy. And as one of the leaders said, because the problem is global, the solution has to be global too. So my question is, beyond looking for a vaccine and everything that the different systems are trying to find in order to advance and scientists and the cooperation and everything, what can you add to what world leaders see? What should they globally learn from this entire global crisis that we went through? How to get all of us along together, and because we're all interconnected and interdependent, how in each and every country accordingly to build a subsystem that will be as a part of the general system of humanity, meaning here there has to be some kind of consent and a building of some kind of general system of a global government that will consist of individual governments, the governments of countries, and for them to think together all the time and discuss. How should each and every country support the rest of the countries in order to, as quickly as possible, lead to a state where everyone in the world will have an equal standard of living? In their style, of course, because a European style isn't like the African style or a South American style to what you have in Russia, of course. Everyone has something different, but that more or less the standard of living all in all will be equal. The way you see this, the way that world leaders dealt with the pandemic up until now, was it correct? I don't think that we should linger on this. The main thing is that we somehow got out of this, and the question is, where are we headed? I don't think that it was done correctly or not. It was done out of pressure, misunderstanding, this, that, but all in all, we took care of things in a way that all in all, we all have the same problem, trouble. Dealing with such a problem, like you're saying that, God forbid, future problems can come to mankind, should we prepare for it locally or globally? Locally preparing for something will not help. We always have to prepare ourselves on the global level, and whoever will not participate in this global system in order to bring everyone to a new standard of living, not higher, but first of all integral, then whoever will not participate in this will experience a blow. Previously when you talked, I had this feeling that I wasn't alive back then, but from the stories that I heard and from what I read, I feel that what you feel is kind of similar to what was felt in the world after the Second World War. There was the UN was formed, and they said, like, okay, let's stop the madness that we came to, and let's try and build something good here. A few dozens of years went by, and thank God there's no world war, but there is a plague that paralyzed the entire world. The plague is gradually leaving, and you're saying, look, friends, the blow is global. From this, we have to understand that we all have to cooperate on a global level and to put together a world government that will make sure that all people, no matter where they are, will have a good, equal standard of living. Isn't it kind of repeating itself? We tried to do it, and we see that it didn't work out. Or I didn't exactly understand what you're saying. Maybe you're right about how things were. I'm not relating to what was. First of all, I'm looking at the blow that we have just experienced, which is a blow that is telling us that all of you are interconnected. All of you are a part of an integral system, the way I see it, meaning the way nature sees it, the way the blow sees it. And it doesn't matter who's right and who's not, and who treated the ecosystem nicely, and who was happier or less, contributed more money to for animals or nature or whatever. This blow says, I'm coming down on everyone. And that's good. Meaning that we are in an integral system. It's like you have at home a strong dad. He's like a judge, a real judge. He comes home. And at home, the children, the little children, they're arguing, look, he did this, I did that. Dad says, everyone, including everyone, roll down your pants and everyone will get spanked, suppose, 20 times. The children are crying, how could that be? He did this, but he did that. I didn't. Everyone's getting the same. Everyone. Is the father right or not? I don't know. It's a kind of a collective punishment. Today, by law, it's forbidden both spanking and also collective next time, children of the children will think how not to get into a confrontation. They'll all keep each other from doing it, that it's preferable not to go there. It doesn't matter who's right and who's wrong. They're all wrong if there is a fight between them. And even those that have nothing to do with the fight, but they're a part of this family, everyone's a part of humanity, suppose, also get a blow, a spanking. So everyone has work to do to keep the peace. About everyone has work to do keeping the peace. First of all, you're saying do not become despaired of the attempt of building the UN, and it didn't bring anything good to the world. This doesn't really bother me. It doesn't really bother me. What does bother me is that we have this task of keeping peace from now on. Now, in relation to what you said, we have to build this world government that every country has some kind of representation. If I look at each and every country, and it doesn't matter, you can take Israel, you can take the United States, no matter where you look, the countries inside themselves are so rifted, separated, polarized. How countries that are so polarized inside themselves can build something together on the global level? They should all get a spanking, like those children that can't get along. This is actually what nature is doing with us today. This is why a global blow is coming to everyone. Exactly. Now you understand how the virus is working. Now the question is, will it work correctly on us? Will we deduce the correct conclusions from this? Okay, let's advance to the correct conclusions. Let's go and look at the relationships between people. We saw a blow that really hurt all people. How does this fact, should this fact, influence the international relationships between countries? Should they change in some way? All the international relations after this blow that they got from Dad, everyone, they have to think, how should they prevent themselves from getting another spanking? Because the next blow could be much harder than the previous one. And what does this depend on? What can help us in this regard? That they understand that they're interdependent. To the measure to which they understand that in their relationships, they can reach a good, nice, and happy life without needing to go through blows. What's the relation between international relations and our relationship with nature? As if it has nothing to do with one another, the relations between countries and a virus that comes from nature. On part of nature, we're all one integral system. And that we have divided ourselves into different parts, countries, nations, it is because of our ego. And above our ego, we have to rise above it and bring ourselves into one system. This will influence the international relations between countries, can influence nature for the better so that we won't get blows from the still vegetative and the animate. It all depends on the relationships between people. Why? Because we're the uppermost system in nature. From the still vegetative, the animate, we're at the speaking level, the highest level. Okay, I understand. Now, I'd like to focus on something. In the world, there are countries that are rich and countries that are poor. The way you see this, how, now that we're coming out of this global blow, pandemic, will this reality change? Will it stay the same? The relationships between rich and poor countries. I see that there has to be some kind of system that balances their relations out, evens them out. I think that there has to be an educational system, the biggest and most powerful systems of all, that's at the very top, that it really makes one system out of all of us, a modern world, a modern man. Modern, not in terms of what people might think, maybe, but in terms of us starting to bring ourselves to a state where families are equal, each in its own style, but mom, dad, two kids. Two. And not 20, 30. And for us to take care of our children and give them a good future. In short, a balanced world. Look, when you're saying a balanced world, when you're talking about an integral system, or when you're talking about one world government that has to equally care for everyone, there are many people that think that the corona came to show us that globalization only harmed us, because were we not so interconnected for the past dozens of years, a virus couldn't have brought the entire world to a freeze. They see this global pandemic as a red light telling us, guys, let's go back. Globalization is bad for us. What do you think? They're right. They are. It's not that it says, and it's not just so written in our sources and the Jewish textbooks that the connection of wicked is bad for them and bad for the world. Of course, such a civilization in which everyone can live off everyone else and to really enjoy being smarter and stronger and richer, to live at the expense of others, in short. Of course, it's not to the benefit of humanity, but to the benefit of those that are successful. And therefore, globalization is not to the benefit of man. It is in order to show man what kind of globalization there should be. And what kind should there be? Global is, you know, from the word globe. Global, globe, we has to be like this ball. We're all equal. We all support each other. No one gains or earns at the expense of others. We don't compete with each other, with ourselves, but we compete in the direction of how can we give each other more? What can we give each other? There has to be a completely different kind of relationship between us. The shifts between countries. Now we're coming out of a state where every country closed its borders. No one going in, no one going out. You in your country, I in my country. Farewell. Now that the corona is passing a bit and all the borders will be opened again, and again we'll see the modern man living all around, traveling around the world, traveling everywhere, doing business everywhere, and that the entire planet is actually spread before him, or will countries make these kinds of limitations, or how do you see this? I would not want for countries to limit themselves because it is against the general development of nature, and if so, it will be to our detriment. But I'm also not in favor of people with their uncorrected ego to go again into these different imaginary engagements between them, where everyone makes his living at the expense of others. And therefore, first of all, there has to be an educational system such that everyone understands what are we supposed to advance to, by what forces. And then, when we will correctly learn how to do this, we'll teach ourselves correctly, we'll take each other into consideration, we'll build a new system. Were I to invite you now to participate in one of the international committees of world leaders, what would you tell them that they still don't see, in your opinion? I'm not sure that the world leaders are capable of it, because they come from a type of people that made it, that became world leaders out of egoistic competition, where everyone steps on everyone else, and this is how he reaches the top. Their entire life from morning to evening is calculations of how to step on the other and come in his stead, take his place. And therefore, I don't think that I would appear in front of world leaders. So, what I understand is that everything that we did up until now, even if it seemed that we're going in the right direction, like globalization, like the UN, like the aspiration for every person in the world to be able to live in the way that they have their basic needs and for no one to be suppressed or hungry or deprived of whatever, and all these things that we did not succeed in up until now has to bring us to a new understanding that something isn't working, that this is that thing that we have to upgrade. What is that central point that we have to change in our perception so that all of these global enterprises will work? That the entire world is one family. And if I do not care for this one family, then actually, at the end of the day, I'm burying myself. This feeling, is it what will lead us to building the correct kind of globalization, the real globalization? Yes, we can awaken this kind of feeling in us in the direction of an integral world, and we will feel that it is something that exists in nature, only that we're lacking this feeling. And there's something beautiful about what you're saying on the one hand. On the other hand, I have to put this on the table, that it sounds like utopia. You're talking about an amazing world. You're talking about world peace. You're talking about destructive competition ending. No. What I'm saying is that we will have to make an effort in order to keep this. What's better, peace or war? So we have to care for peace, even though that we will have to pay for this peace with our efforts, with keeping ourselves from fighting, with many things. It's not simple. The force that will be able to keep us on the right track, this is the force that you're talking about, can it come only from blows like we saw now in the coronavirus? Like you said, that nature gave everyone a single blow and told everyone, guys, you're all in one boat. Whatever you think, that you have a rich country, a poor country, you're this, he's that. These are, you know, this is your own story. In the eyes of nature, you're all one. Only blows will bring us to understand that we're all one family and that we have to start treating each other accordingly. If we don't do it in a good way, surely we'll have to go through it in a bad way. But one way or another, according to the plan of creation, the connection between us and the integral system is already a done deal, and we're advancing toward it. And the corona, this is the first bell that's telling us that we have entered a straight road leading us to humanity becoming one system. In order for humanity to really be one system and not just make-believe, we need a new human being. Well, you can say that, but I don't know if it's new. It's actually the same human being, the same person that went through all of these things and suffered a lot. Actually, he is capable of keeping this new state in which we're all interconnected, because he knows that were it not for that, then God help us, the viruses that can come. So this is how you see it, that unless people advance toward a reality where they have new relations, nature will beat us again and again. Undoubtedly, because nature is round, And in this ball-shaped nature, only humanity is resisting nature, and therefore it will get blows more than everyone else. Now there's locust on the way, bees are disappearing from the world. I can tell you so many things from what we already see and experience. The coronavirus, we didn't see it coming. It was arranged that way. But even though that we see what's coming our way, how many blows can really devastate humanity that let's better not talk about it. By what principles or based on which principles should global cooperation be based on? My teacher, Balasulam, wrote a lot about this. These are the principles of the so-called last generation. Last, meaning that humanity is reaching its final integral form, global, in mutual support of each other, that we're all drawn to equality, that we think only about the inner spiritual development and the corporeal egoistic development. We leave it. We don't need it. But everyone develops from the inside by a special system they build so that they can really see the whole of reality, the entire universe, and one look to feel life and death as a part of the same nature, that this is what it means that everyone rises to a higher understanding where we all enjoy life, really. These wondrous processes that you're describing, they're all based on developing a new understanding, a new vision, basic needs. I don't trust what people think, their mood, that they'll treat each other favorably. It all comes and goes. I don't have these kinds of fantasies. I understand the system, both the inner system inside a person and also of nature, surrounding nature. Only the recognition of evil, the understanding of these blows can lead us to correction. I'm not talking about a good state where people want to develop and do good to everyone. A person will do it because he has no other choice. First, he'll do it unwillingly, and then willingly. So, if to summarize what we have to learn from the corona, the global blows, what is the teaching that we have to derive from this? That we are an integral system. Everyone, including everyone, we're one humanity. And that we need not to go back to how things were. Because, again, we're bringing the corona back upon us. We are in a deterministic development, so we can't go back. So, that we start building a new humanity that's integral, where we're all interconnected, that we're all together as one small village, that we feel good that way, and man's entire development has to be in that we breach the limits, the boundaries of nature, that we rise above it and we start seeing nature transparently, and every person starts feeling that he rises above the limitations of his animate body, of the still, the vegetative, and the animate, but there is another level of human development, which is the human level, the spiritual level. Dr. Leitman, thank you very, very much. And we're joining your hopes. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.